This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Our scripture reading is found in John chapter 1, verse 45. The Bible says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Won't you just come and see? Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now that you've come to know me, you're going to see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you'll see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray today that you will speak to us and through us. I pray today that you will give your word a free course to travel. May it find a lodging place in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. God, for all you do, we're just going to honor and glorify you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about Nathanael. He's the eighth disciple. We've studied seven of them, Philip last week. But I want to talk to you about Nathanael, the guileless one. His name literally means a gift from God. Nathanael. He had a surname, Bartholomew. So anytime the scripture speaks of Bartholomew, it's talking about Nathanael. And anytime it speaks of Nathanael, it's talking about Bartholomew. But everything, folks, that I look at, the way I live my life, I see everything through a leadership perspective. So when I go to a restaurant and if I have a bad experience, you say, well, that waitress, no. There's a leadership problem somewhere. Because here's what I know. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Always remember, an organization doesn't grow around a leader. You don't have a crummy leader and wake up and say, we've got all these wonderful people, but we've got a crummy leader. No. An organization grows under the leader. And for the organization to rise, the leader has to rise. And the organization quits growing when the leader quits growing, whoever that man or woman may be. Now, here's what I want you to see. There's some wonderful lessons that we learn from the life of Nathanael. Let me give you four of them right quickly. It may be an exaggeration, but anyway, let me give you four of them. Number one, we see the importance of scriptures. You know, last week we talked about Jesus found Philip. And then Philip goes and he says, Nathanael, I want you to know something. The one we've been reading about, the one we've been studying about, as we studied the Old Testament, we found him. It's Jesus, the son of Joseph. He's the Messiah. The one that we've been reading about, the one that we have been studying about. Here's what I want you to understand something. There's something so important. Scriptures are so important in our lives. We desperately need the Word of God. Now look, folks, I have been married for 37 years, July the 3rd, 37 years. And we've had a lot of meals. We had a Barbara and Savannah prepared me a wonderful Father's Day meal. I mean, it was, we had turkey burgers. I mean, you name it. It was a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day meal. But you know, I've thought about all these years of being married. I don't know that I can remember every item we've had in the meals. I couldn't tell you a specific meal and name every one of the items over the years. But you know what I know? I receive strength and nourishment from every meal that I've ever received. I receive strength and nourishment from every meal I've ever received. Let me tell you something. You say, I didn't understand everything the preacher said. I didn't understand everything I read in the Bible. Perhaps you didn't, but I want you to know something. You got strength and nourishment from it. Whether you realized it or not, when you're reading it, when you're studying God's Word, you get strength and nourishment from it. Now, let me make two quick observations, and I'll move to the next point. Number one, you can't become a believer without the Bible. You can't become a believer without the Bible. Romans 10 and 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Friend, let me tell you something. If you want your children to come to know Christ at a young age, the Bible says, "From whence thou was a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." If you want your children to come to know the Lord at a young age, you better get the Bible in them. You better get the Bible in them. Because you can't become a believer without the Bible. Let me tell you observation number two. You can't live a victorious Christian life outside of the Word of God. You can't live a victorious Christian life outside of the Word of God. See, Ephesians 6 and 17 says this. Take the helmet of salvation, look, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me just make you aware of something. We're in a battle, folks. We're in a battle. And we need a weapon. And our weapon is the Word of God. Your sword is the Word of God. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, if the enemy comes. No, the enemy's going to come. You say, well, everything's going good for me right now. Well, you better lift your hallelujah. But let me tell you something. I want to assure you, the battle is coming. The battle is coming. And let me tell you, Jesus, the enemy came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And how did Jesus overcome the enemy? He overcame the enemy with the Word of God. Every time the enemy came in him, he quoted him the book of Deuteronomy. I just want to report to you, in whatever fashion, we need to get in the Bible. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, I've got a reading plan to read the Bible in a year. Well, let me just make a statement. It's wonderful if you read it in a year, but it took them 1,500 years to write it. I'm not so interested in you reading it in a year. It's not how much you get through, it's how much of it gets through you. It's how much of it gets through you. We need to get the Word of God into our hearts and lives, ladies and gentlemen. We need the Word of God. And this is all I'll say. This is just, I'm just being real personal. The Scripture that I memorize is the Scripture I utilize. The Scripture I memorize is the Scripture I utilize. So I challenge you just to get the Word of God into your heart. You know, Joshua told the men in Joshua 5 and 2, look what he said. This is all I'm going to say. At the time, the Lord said unto Joshua, take you a sharp knife or a sharp sword and circumcise again the children of Israel. Now, you say, Pastor, what's this about? Circumcise the children of Israel. It's cutting away the flesh. It's cutting away the flesh. Here's what I want to say. What will cut away the lust of the fleshly desires in our lives? Men, the only thing that's going to cut away the flesh of the lustly desires in our lives is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. See, sin will keep you from the Word of God, and the Word of God will keep you from sin. You say, Pastor, this is really just not relevant to me. Relevant, get real. 25% of the men in America are addicted to internet pornography. Don't tell me it's not relevant. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. You say, well, Pastor, how do we combat this stuff? I'm just a man. How do I deal with it? That's what I'm talking about, folks. We got to get the Word of God into our lives. We got to get God's Word into our lives. Look what Proverbs 7:1 says. Get this. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Just a paraphrase, that's Benny Tate saying, you got to get the Bible into you. You got to get the Bible into you. You say, well, my husband don't need what you're preaching about. Ma'am, let me give you a news flash. Yes, he does. If he doesn't, he's stronger than Samson, godlier than David, and wiser than Solomon, and I can't wait to meet him. But look, get those words in you, and what will happen? That they may keep thee from the strange woman. That woman on that screen is a strange woman. And the only thing, goodness, if this is my response for point one, I hate for the rest of them. And the only thing that's going to keep thee from the strange woman which flattereth with her words is the Word of God. All I'm trying to say on Father's Day, all I'm trying to say to you dads, the importance of the Scriptures. Let me tell you the second thing I'd say to dads is the issue of self-esteem. The issue of self-esteem. You know, Philip says, Nathaniel, we found the one. And look what verse 46 says. Philip said, we found him. And Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now when I read that, folks, I thought about, now, there was prejudice between the Galileans and those from Nazareth. But then I realized something. Get this. Philip was from Cana, which is just 5 or 6 miles from Nazareth. It's really a more lowly town than Nazareth. It's really basically from Nazareth. So get this. Here's what Nathaniel was saying. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What he was saying, he can't be any good because he's just one of us. He can't be any good because he's just one of us. He's the carpenter's son. He's just one of us. And in Nazareth, we're not any good. So he can't be any good because he's just one of us. See, I believe Nathaniel wasn't rejecting Jesus. He was rejecting himself. He said, he's just one of us. And many times, people's attitude is, can any good thing come from me? Can any good thing come from me in light of my divorce? Can any good thing come from me in light of my addiction? Can any good thing come from me in light of my embarrassment? Can any good thing come from me in light of my failure? Can any good thing come from me in light of the family that I'm from? See, many people are prisoners to their past. They're just prisoners to their past. And they say, there's no way. There's no way with my past that God can use me. There's just no way. Because I'm just from Nazareth. I've made a mess up of my life. But I love what Philip said to Nathaniel. He said, come and see. Let me tell you something. No matter what's happened in your life, you don't have to stay where you are. No matter what's happened in your life, you don't have to stay where you are. There's a message that God has given us there. And the message is, your past doesn't have to determine your future. And you don't need to be a prisoner of your past. God's got something for you right now. And that's why he said, don't you stay where you're at. Don't you stay in that prison. You come and see, because God has a wonderful plan for your life. Listen, folks, we're children. We're children of the Most High God. But I find many people, they feel like, I'm just from Nazareth. I've just messed up, and God can't use me. But I want you to know, no matter how much you've messed up, God can use you. I want you to know, you said, but Brother Benny, you don't understand what I've done. You don't really understand the depths of what I've done. Get this, folks. I'm going to give you a deep thought. There's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. Get this. There's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you, because there's nothing you did to make God start loving you. There's nothing you can do to make him stop, because there's nothing you did to make him start. He always loved you, and he always will love you. I'll tell you what old Nate teaches me. Nathaniel teaches me the importance of scriptures. Nathaniel teaches me the issue of self-esteem. There's a third thing that he teaches me. That's the intervention of the Savior. The intervention of the Savior. You know what's amazing? Jesus comes to Nathaniel, and he says, an Israelite in whom there is no guile, You're not deceitful. You're who you are. And they start having a conversation. Let me explain, folks. In Israel, when they would cook, the homes would get real warm. And after they cooked a meal, they would leave the house, and planted around the house would be fig trees. These fig trees would be 15 feet high, and they would have limbs that would go out about 20 feet. And literally, you could get under the fig tree, and those limbs would lean down, and nobody would see you. Nobody would see you. And apparently, that's what Nathaniel would do. He had him a fig tree. And he would go, and he would get under that fig tree, and those massive limbs would lean down and hide him under that fig tree and keep him cool. But Jesus said, Nate, I want you to know something. I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you under the fig tree. When you thought you were all by yourself, and when you thought nobody cared, and when you see, it seemed like you were all alone, I want you to know something. I saw you under the fig tree. Friend, I want you to understand, God sees us under the fig tree. God sees us under the fig tree. When it seems like there's nobody there, when it seems like we're all alone, I want you to know the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Let me make another statement. He said to Nathaniel, he said, I saw you. And Nathaniel said, nobody could have known this. Nobody could have known I was under that fig tree. And Nathaniel said, you are the Son of God. Philip said in verse 45, he's the son of Joseph. Nathaniel said, no, he's the Son of God. He's not just the son of Joseph, he's the Son of God. Because when nobody could see me, he could see me. Let me tell you something. Anybody that's been a parent, the day will come The day will come when you can't be with them. I remember when Savannah went off to school first time, University of Georgia. Of course, I cried for a lot of reasons. I never will forget when she told me. She said, "Dad, would you sit down?" I said, "Sure." She said, "You've never came, got me out of jail?" I said, "No." "I've never walked in, told you I was with child?" I said, "No." But she said, "Dad, I'm going to tell you something's going to hurt you a whole lot more." I'm going to the University of Georgia. And, of course, I was devastated. Here's what I want you to understand, though. I remember that first time when she went away. I couldn't see her, but the Lord could see her. He saw her under the fig tree or wherever she was. And parents, I just want to give a word of encouragement to you. You said, "Brother Benny, I don't know what to do." Well, the Lord sees them. He sees them, and he's going to take care of them, and he's going to work it out, because he's that kind of God. I don't know about you folks, but I'm encouraging myself with this message. Ornate teaches me the importance of scriptures. Ornate teaches me the issue of self-esteem. Ornate teaches me the intervention of the Savior. But I'll tell you something else that Nate teaches me. He teaches me the introduction of the supernatural. The introduction of the supernatural. See, Nathaniel came to know Christ. Nathaniel came to know Christ. And look what he said in verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, you believe." I don't know what it took for you to believe, but I'm grateful for whatever it was. I'm grateful for that time that you believed in Christ. I don't know what it took, but I'm grateful for whatever it took. Jesus said, "Now you're going to see greater things than these." And he went on to explain. He said, "Hereafter, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God descending upon the Son of God." Now, let me tell you what he was speaking in relevance to, and I'm almost done. In Genesis 28, Jacob had a dream, and he saw a ladder going to heaven, remember? And angels were going up and down on that ladder. And he said, "I want you to know something. I want you to know something. Nathaniel, Jacob saw that ladder going up and down to heaven. But he said, I want you to know, I am that ladder. I am that ladder. Heaven has come to earth. Heaven has come to earth. And you're going to see greater things because heaven has come to earth." And all I want to say to you today as I wrap up, folks, we can see great things because heaven's come to earth. I don't know what you need today, but I want you to know this. We can see great things because heaven has come to earth. You know, there's a little verse in Hebrews 13 and 8. This is what it says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Folks, we don't have a problem with yesterday. We believe that Moses stretched out a rod. We believe he stretched out a rod and the Red Sea parted. We believe that Daniel was in a den of lions and God gave them lions lockjaw. We believe that. We believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into a fiery furnace and came out and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Well, you can't even go in the Waffle House and that happened. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, wait, and today and forever. We don't have a problem with the forever. You say, what do you mean we don't have a problem with the forever? Think about what we believe. We believe a trumpet's going to toot and we're going to scoot. We believe we're going to leave here like Superman, going to come back like the Lone Ranger. We believe the eastern skies are going to roll back and we're going to get out of here. As Christians, we're not looking for the undertaker, we're looking for the uppertaker. We're not looking for a hole in the ground, we're looking for a hole in the sky. We're not looking for the Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ. You know what I've learned about most of us? We have no problem with yesterday. We have no problem with forever. Our problem's today. But I want to report to you, he's the same yesterday and today and forever.